One weekend closer to Christmas. One day closer to celebrate the coming of the divine Redeemer. And we can already hear the echoes of his voice. Behold, I am coming, and coming soon, and with me my recompense, to give to everyone according to their deeds. For this time of Advent, my dear brethren, as we know, it is a time of preparation, a time of expectation, a time of awaiting for Jesus. And the better we prepare for that event, the greater the expectation that our hearts may hold, the greater is the chance to hear the Lord when he comes and knocks on our doors for us to welcome him. As it is said in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter his house and dine with him, and he with me. And in this time of intense preparation, dear brethren, the Holy Mother Church presents to our consideration the mysterious figure of St. John the Baptist. It is a mysterious figure because St. John the Baptist is a man that belongs to the Old Testament, but not completely. He also belongs to the New Testament, but not completely. He's right in the middle. On one hand, he's the last great prophet of the Old Testament, the last great prophet of those generations of people awaiting to see the Savior, the Messiah. And on the other hand, he was the lucky one who was sent to prepare the immediate appearance of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was the lucky one of so many people to be able to see the Messiah among the Jewish, the chosen people. And in a way, my dear brethren, we can see our lives very similar to the life of St. John the Baptist. What intense preparation this man had to fulfill his mission, to fulfill his vocation. And when it came, he fulfilled it completely, wonderfully. He prepared a worthy people for the Savior. He announced the Redeemer. He preached about him. He felt the loneliness when many others didn't want to hear his message, the voice of the one crying out in the desert, in a desert because it seems that no one wanted to hear. But also he experienced, felt the happiness when some of them did listen to his voice, did listen when he pointed out where this Messiah was. When he was, for example, with his disciples, the young John and the young Andrew, and he saw Jesus walking by, and he said, behold, behold he who takes away the sins of the world. He's the one of whom I said, a man is coming after me who runs ahead of me because he existed before me. And the future St. John and St. Andrew, they did listen to St. John. They did follow the Master and became the Master's disciples, the Master's apostles, the future bishops of the church. St. John the Baptist also felt how the temptation of doubt and the darkness of his prison put him to the test. As we heard in today's gospel, when in prison St. John sent word to Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another one? And he also felt the joy of being at last with the promised one, with the bridegroom. As he said, the one who has a bride is the bridegroom. But the best man, I, who stands and listens to him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. And as I said, dear brethren, our lives are not so different from the life of this extraordinary man. We also somehow as the best we can. We also announce the Redeemer. We also preach about him. We can feel the loneliness when sometimes people don't want to hear our voices telling them where is God, what God expects of them, where to find the joy and the true peace. We feel that loneliness. We can feel that sadness. But we also experience the happiness when some of them actually listen to our voice, when actually we can take people to Jesus and they find the true joy and the true peace. We can feel, dear brethren, the same temptations of doubts. We can feel the darkness of prison, like St. John the Baptist. When we see around us the situation of our country, the situation of our church. And then, if that is not enough, then we have to deal with our own personal sins, our miseries, things that we don't want to change, sins that we have committed so long, for such a long time, and still we fall into them. When it is so difficult, dear brethren, to live the virtues of our faith, of course we can understand then the temptation of doubt. We can understand the darkness of the prison of this extraordinary man. But we also feel the joy, dear brethren, of being at last with the promised one, to be at last with the bridegroom, especially when we receive him in the Holy Eucharist. We feel that overwhelming joy of being with Jesus. So we see, dear brethren, that our lives are not so different from St. John the Baptist. And we, dear brethren, are called to live the same way that he did, in the beautiful, in the wonderful, in the divine virtue of hope. I encourage you to go to the first reading later on, and you will see how many times this virtue is said in the first reading. That's actually one of the marks of this time of Advent, which is a time of expectation, time of preparation, time of awaiting for the Savior, and of course, it's a time for hope. Beautiful, divine virtue of hope. One of the major virtues of our lives. One of the greatest gifts granted to us by God in our baptism. The queen of all virtues, of course, is charity, by which we love God above all things and our neighbors as ourselves. Then we have the virtue of faith, by which we believe in God. We believe that what he says is true, because he cannot lie to us, and certainly he will not deceive, he will not lie to himself. And then the virtue of hope, by which we trust that God will fulfill his promises, that God will give us the means to achieve our goal, which is the bliss in the heavenly kingdom. And it's a true hope, dear brethren, not a fake one that most people have nowadays, unfortunately. A hope that is only for this world, a hope that is only for this life. Life that sooner or later brings to these people sadness, trials, difficulties, sufferings. A life that sooner or later becomes a valley of tears. But since they have a fake hope, not the divine hope of God, their lives, shaken both by those trials of this life, fall into despair, fall into hopelessness, fall into losing any kind of higher purpose, reason, or destiny. But that's not going to happen to us, my dear brethren. We're called to live in this hope, divine, beautiful virtue of hope. Because we know that God will fulfill his promises. We know that he will grant us the means to achieve that goal of heaven. Furthermore, my dear brethren, we are called to bring hope to those who do not have it. We have been called by our Lord Jesus to bring light to those who live in darkness. We have been called by Jesus to bring joy to those who have forgotten maybe how to smile. As he said, you will be the light of this world, you shall be the salt of this world. And if it is beautiful, dear brethren, the thought that God will fulfill his promises, it's a beautiful thought to realize that the Lord will bring the reward to our efforts, to our faithfulness. It's even a more beautiful thought that if we want to see Jesus, if we expect to be with Jesus, Jesus has the same, no, even greater desire to be with us, even a greater desire to be in our dwelling. Because if we love Jesus, if we want to see him, if we want to be with him, he wants exactly the same, but even more. My dear brethren, let us continue in this time of Advent, preparing a worthy dwelling for our Lord Jesus Christ. If we prepare that dwelling, we will be able to hear his voice. We will be able to hear when he knocks on the hearts, as he said in the last book of Revelation, look, I am at the door. I'm knocking on the door. The one who is able to listen, to hear my voice, and to open that door, I will enter, I will dine with him, and he will dine with me. The Prince of Peace, the Prince of Joy, will give us a joy, will give us a peace that no one will take away from us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.